Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome to the podcast. This is a romance author spotlight episode of the show featuring USA Today bestselling author Golden Angel. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast. I am here today with USA Today bestselling author Golden Angel. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, very good. Very pleased to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I mean, I'm very pleased to be here, so.
Well, we're going to take a listen very quickly before we get to know more about you and your books to an excerpt I recorded for you not too long ago, and it's from your book, Hidden Away. It's book 7 in the Masters of Marquee series. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, set us up a little bit with this excerpt we're going to hear. Tell us what we're going to hear about here.
So Hidden Away, it takes place outside of, so most of the Masters of Marquee stories take place mostly in Marquee, which is the BDSM club that the characters all belong to. This particular couple, a big chunk of their story takes place on Hideaway Island, which is kind of a kinky resort island. They are the best man and maid of honor for their friends, and it's a Jack and Jill bachelorette and bachelor party. And they have spent the past, this is the seventh book, so they've spent the past six books kind of like sparks flying everywhere, but they are resisting. He is a daddy dom, and she is very against calling anyone other than her own father daddy. And so because they feel like they can't meet each other's needs, they have been resisting their feelings for each other. So then they go away to this island for this Jack and Jill bachelorette party. Something happens to her room, which makes it unusable. And their excuse is that they don't want to stress out the groom and bride by like moving around. Basically, you know, there's limited rooms anyway. They don't want her off to where, to another part of the resort. They want her still kind of in the area where everyone else is. And so she's going to spend the rest of the week in his room with him, but they're not telling anybody. So their relationship is being hidden away and they're on Hideaway Island. And this scene that I sent you, I believe, happens right after they have agreed that she's going to stay in his place. And they're kind of negotiating their way through their first scene together to kind of see how this week is going to go.
So it didn't take very long, did it?
No. Yeah. I mean, basically, as soon as they got in there, they started kind of, she kind of was like, oh, well, you know, I guess I need to pay my way since I'm staying in your room this week. And rather than backing down, he actually like kind of met her with the challenge, was like, yeah, I guess you do need to.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I think the way I described it in the book was like, huh, he's like, oh, we're playing sex chicken. Well, I'm not going to be the one to chicken out.
Sex chicken. That's a game I've never played before. I've never heard of that game, but it looks like a good game. I don't know if you can bring it out as a board game, maybe. That's a good idea. You should try that.
I got the idea from like an internet meme that I saw where someone was talking about, you know, my friend and I started playing gay chicken and now here we are 12 years later, married and with two kids. And if he doesn't chicken out soon, I'm going to start thinking he's actually gay. I loved that. It made me laugh really hard. I was like, that's kind of how I think of it with them once they start going at it, because they both want this. They just don't want to admit it.
Right.
And so that's kind of what was in my head, I think.
Well, let's see exactly what was in your head. I already know what was in your head. So let's see what was in your head here when you wrote this scene from Hidden Away. We'll be right back after you take a listen to the short excerpt.
Yay.
Brian. Seeing Ray on her knees in front of him was doing all sorts of things to Brian's imagination. The taste of her on his tongue made him want to push her onto her back and delve between her legs with his mouth. But that wasn't what the scene called for. Playing the part of the hard dom was easier than he would have thought, maybe because of their history together, maybe because of the situation. But he wasn't having any trouble pushing back his daddy instincts in this moment. He was, however, thoroughly enjoying watching Ray submit to him. He sure as hell hadn't expected to be back in this position again. This time, though, he was going to do a better job of managing his expectations. He wasn't fooled. This was a one-time thing, very likely a one-night thing, that he should enjoy while it lasted, and when it was over, it would be over. The fact that they were on an island, away from home, actually made things easier. It was like Vegas. What happened on the island stayed on the island. And they weren't going to tell their friends. He could only imagine what his friends would say if they knew he was hooking up with Ray again. Calling him a masochist would be the least of it. But this time was different. He doubted they'd see it that way, though, which was why it was best to keep them out of it. Plus, he didn't feel like putting up with the inevitable teasing.
"What would you like me to do now, sir?"
Ray asked coquettishly. As an answer, Brian undid the front of his shorts, stepping closer to her as his cock sprang free, the hard length bobbing in front of her face. "I told you, sweetheart. Your first payment. You're going to suck my cock with that pretty little mouth of yours." Normally he would say, "suck daddy's cock," but it really wasn't that hard to change out daddy for my. And the way Ray's eyes lit up with eager expectation more than made the switch worth it. Then her eyes narrowed.
"What do I get out of this?"
"You mean other than a place to stay?" He raised his eyebrows at her, wrapping his hand around his cock and stroking it as he took a step forward, so the tip was right in front of her lips. "Well, if you're so inclined, you can play with yourself. I didn't get to see the finale of your show the other night." Her cheeks darkened with color as she blushed, her challenging gaze dropping, confirming his suspicion that, yes, she'd wanted him to watch. Then her expression shifted, and she glared up at him.
"I knew you were watching."
"Are you pretending you didn't want me to?" he asked. Ray pressed her lips together, which was going to make it really hard for her to suck his cock. "Open up, little girl, unless you want to find somewhere else to sleep tonight." Her eyes widened again, but those were the magic words, even if they were an empty threat. Ray's lips opened, and she leaned forward, taking the head of his cock between them. Brian groaned, releasing his hold on the shaft so she had access to the full length. Fuck, that felt so damn good. As he watched her take his cock between her lips, he could see below where her hand was already between her legs, playing with her pretty pussy, sliding one hand around the back of her neck, under her braids. He reached down with the other to cup her breast, enjoying the vibrations that danced along his cock when she moaned in response. Thrusting gently over her tongue, he worked his cock in and out of her mouth as he squeezed her breast, pinching her nipple hard enough to make her squeal, though the sound was muffled by his dick, which made him like it even more. He gave the tiny butt a little twist, focusing on tormenting her in order to distract himself from the growing pleasure. He wanted to make it last as long as possible. "Fuck, baby girl, that feels so good." Daddy might be on her hard limit, but he could call her whatever he wanted, and her eyes lit up when he called her baby girl. The suction on his dick was pure fucking heaven, and he groaned as her tongue laved the underside. She moaned around his cock, and he could see her hand busily working between her legs, but he couldn't see enough. Releasing her, he stepped back, though she tried to follow him with her mouth at first. Her eyes glazed with desire. She tipped her head back to look at him, lips still parted in erotic invitation. "Up on the bed," he ordered. "I want to watch you play with yourself." Her pupils dilated. He knew that Ray wasn't exactly a huge exhibitionist, though, so that meant she liked being watched by him, which was an entirely different thing, and one that made him feel like crowing in triumph, as if he had won something. Holding out his hand, he helped her up to her feet. The sultry look she gave him over her shoulder as she turned toward the bed was pure flirtation. His dick throbbed and he reached down to grip it, stroking himself as Ray hopped onto the bed and lay back in position. Her feet spread wide apart and firmly planted on the mattress, knees pointed at the ceiling. She gave him a completely open view of her spread pussy. The soft purplish-brown folds glistened in the light, her swollen clit peeking from beneath its hood, just below the thin strip of curly hairs on her mound. Cupping both breasts, she squeezed them before running one hand down over her stomach to dip back between her legs. Ray. Why did she like Brian watching her so much? She truly didn't know, but she loved having his gaze on her, loved knowing he was staring at her like she was a delicious dessert he wanted to pounce on. With his eyes glued to her body, she drew out her pleasure rather than racing for the finish line, teasing herself rather than trying to please herself immediately. She moaned louder than she normally would, shuddering and gasping, as much for his reaction as because what she was doing felt good.
"Like this?"
she asked in a sultry voice, sliding her fingers between her pussy lips, dipping them inside herself before pulling them out to drag her wetness around her swollen clit. "Just like that, baby girl." His eyes drank her up, heating her from the outside in. "I like watching you play with your pretty pussy."
"I thought you were going to be the one to play with it. But whatever gets you going,"
she responded teasingly. Sometimes, she just couldn't help her mouth. "Oh, I'm going to do more than play with it, sweetheart. Just not yet." His eyes gleamed. "Right now, I want to watch you get off, and then I'm going to come all over you." Ray's pussy clenched. She literally never let a guy do that to her before, and yet with Brian, she wanted to try it. Somehow, he made it sound hot. Maybe it was the fact that he was letting her know ahead of time so she could say her safe word if she needed to, rather than trying to just do it. Maybe it was the idea of him making her in some way. Maybe she was just getting kinkier with time. Maybe a combination of all those things. Whatever it was, she wasn't going to protest or pull out now. Rubbing her clit harder, she moaned, arching her back, with her legs held wide for him to see everything. She closed her eyes, thinking about what she must look like, what he must be seeing as he jerked off to the sight of her masturbating, wondering what he was going to do to her tonight, remembering the last scene they'd done together when he'd put her in the sex swing at Marquee. Ray cried out as her pleasure peaked, rubbing harder on her clit, shuddering as pleasure ripped through her. A moment later, as she still spasmed in utter erotic bliss, something hot and warm splashed against her pussy and then her skin. Brian was coming on her. Her fingers slipped through the warmth of his cum, rubbing it between her lips and over her clit, adding to the slippery sensations, and another wave of orgasm pulsed through her as she realized it. More wet heat slid across her lower belly and in her thighs, dripping over her fingers. It was utterly filthy in the best way possible. She moaned as the crescendo of her orgasm finally peaked and began to descend, her fingers moving slower on her clit as the last shocks of pleasure tingled through her. "Good girl," Ryan rasped. Ray jerked in surprise when his hand took her by the wrist, pulling her fingers away from her pussy and lifting them up to her mouth as he loomed over her. "Now, open up." Her eyes widened, but she did as he ordered. Utterly filthy didn't begin to describe it, as the mingled flavors of his cum and her cream hit her tongue. It was salty, sweet depravity, and as she curled her tongue around her fingers to lick them clean, she met his gaze. Despite his cum dripping across her body, the hunger in his eyes hadn't dissipated at all. The end of this short excerpt.
And there you go. I loved reading that excerpt.
Thank you. It was a really fun one to write. I haven't done one like that before in this series, actually, which is kind of, which is what I like to do with my series, is explore new kinks and new scenes that I haven't written before, which gets harder the more books I write.
Have to come up with new stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
so you've kind of described the rest of this series already to us when you set up the when you set up the excerpt there. Tell us, we're always curious about the different authors we have on the show. How did you get started in all this?
So I actually did not mean to become an author. I started writing for a website called Literotica back in 2005, which, oh my God, that's like almost 20 years now. And I wrote on Literotica for years. And then in 2012, I had a story called The Venus School of Sex that a couple readers reached out to me. And self-publishing had just kind of started really becoming a thing. And a few readers reached out and said, "Hey, can you, I love this story. Can you publish it as a book so that I can own it just in case the website ever gets taken down or whatever?" And I was like, "Well, let me check into this and see how hard that would be." And it turned out that publishing, just like formatting and publishing the book and putting it up for sale, was actually really easy. So I put it up on Barnes and Noble, and at that point, I think it was just Barnes and Noble and Amazon. And then I happened to apply at exactly the right time to be an indie author on Google. So I got in on there. Eventually, I started adding other retailers. But at the beginning, it was just those, and it really was just for that story, which I had an idea of things I wanted to do with those characters that weren't really suitable for an erotica website because there was a lot less sex and it delved a lot more into what happened between the characters after they went home from the school for sex. And so that was just kind of like this, like, oh, okay, let me continue this story that wouldn't have worked on the website. And I was still writing for the website. And then I started making money from these books because people were buying them more than just the couple readers that had asked me about them. And so I kept writing. And then I was kind of splitting my time between writing for the website and writing my books. And eventually, as I realized, oh, hey, I can like pay off school debt and pay off credit card debt and improve my life. And oh, hey, I really like this actually. And so I started publishing in 2012. And then in 2018, I don't know, I must have had probably around 50 books by then. And
Wow.
yeah, and I just went, you know, I really love this. And I think I might be able to make a full-time job out of this. And I started getting really heavy into learning how to market and learning how to run it as a business and really concentrating on like a publishing schedule instead of just writing them and then putting them up.
Treating it more like a business, in other words.
Yeah, like treating it and treating myself seriously as an author. And there was a really long period of time where I still struggle with this, but that I would be like, oh, but I'm not a real author. You know, like I'm writing stories and I'm publishing them, but I'm not a real author. And my husband would get very upset with me.
I bet he would. Good for him. Good for
Yeah.
him. Yes.
He's like, when are you gonna feel like you're a real author? And I was like, I don't know. And of course, everything that I would say, I would then move the goalpost on myself, which very helpful. So yeah. Now I've just kind of accepted. I might not always feel like it, but I say it, fake it till you make it.
So the other new authors or prospective authors out there that want to give this a shot, listen to what Golden Angel is saying. She's written all these books and she still wants to tell herself that she might not be an author. So come on now, get started and go, right?
Imposter syndrome is real. I wish you could say it goes away, but so far, no. And I've been doing this for 12 years in July.
And it seems like you just love doing it now.
Do. I am so grateful. It's funny. I always thought I wasn't an ambitious person because I only ever wanted to work to have the money to do the things that I wanted to do, like outside of work. And then once I became an author and started being like, oh, this could be my job, all of a sudden I became very ambitious. Like, oh, hey, if it's something I love to do, I want to be really good at it.
Well, what a feeling too, to be able to do
yeah.
something you want to do and be able to make your living at it. That's, geez, that's just about everybody's dream, isn't it?
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm living a dream that I didn't think was possible. So I mean I really, even when I started first started self-publishing, I did not think I would be here where I am. I actually have a letter that I wrote to myself in 2011 that I was supposed to open in 10 years, and I did open it in 2021, and the whole thing, you know, it was written before I self-published. And the whole thing was like, oh, you know, I've been writing for this website, and wouldn't it be cool if, like, when I open this in 10 years, I have a book out, like an actual book published. And at that point in 2021, when I opened it, I had over 50 books published. I was a USA Today bestselling author. I was living, you know, supporting my family off my book income. I'd had, I think at that point, one of my trad pub books had already traditionally published books had already released, and the other one was on its way. And I'm just like looking at all this stuff that I'd done with my life since 2011, when I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I got a book published? That was a cool letter to read because of that.
Turns out it was cool.
Yeah.
That's
but yeah,
that...
the year before I started self-publishing, it didn't even occur to me that this would be an option.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah.
My one question for you here is, of course, it takes courage to do that. You jump into something, honestly, that you really didn't have a lot of clue how to do. And you jumped in there and you made it work. And that's amazing to me, to have the courage to do that. What I'm wanting to know here is, when you were a child, when you were growing up, did you read a lot? Did you have interest in this? What made you sit down and start writing these stories for Literotica?
Well, I had been writing for long before that. I actually, when I was in middle school, I wanted to be a horror writer like R.L. Stine or Christopher Pike, which was what I was mostly reading at the time. And I wrote my first horror novel, which I really wish I had a copy of it, in eighth grade. I would love to be able to read that. See what it was like.
I bet it was good.
I don't think it was bad, because we did this thing where the students could vote on every, you know, it was a creative writing class in English. So you would write something and everyone would vote on whose story they wanted to hear on Fridays. And I was the only one writing a chapter length story, but during the time that I was writing that story, every chapter I got voted as the person that they wanted to hear, because they always wanted to hear the next chapter. So I was writing like a chapter a week and then getting to read it on Friday to my class. But at least probably wasn't terrible.
Well, what a great experience to get you going. And
yeah. And then, you know, I got to college, and I'm 40 now. So by the time I was in high school, we had one computer in the house, which was in my parents' study. So we did have access to the internet, sort of, you know, dial up, had to have that second phone line. And by the time I got to college, I had my own computer and my own access to the internet, which no one was monitoring. So of course,
then you were
just
dangerous. You were just
dangerous
after that.
Yeah, exactly. One of the first things you do is go looking for porn. and I discovered that I didn't really like visual porn, but I happened across this site called Literotica, and they had written porn. They had the story section, and I ripped through those. I am a very fast reader. And at the time, I don't have as much time to read it now, but you know, at the time I was just constantly reading in between whatever else I was doing. And I tore through the BDSM category on Literotica in about 2 years. And then I had to stop and wait for new stories to be released. And as they were being released, they weren't always what I wanted to read. And it became really difficult, like waiting every day for something in my category, and there'd be the new stories, but then I'd read them in like 10 minutes, and maybe they were something that was really appealing to me, maybe they weren't. And I started thinking, well, I like to write. What if I just wrote what I wanted to read? And I was very, very blessed because people can be so mean. You will never meet meaner people than people you are giving free smut to. Like, I am not at all bothered by one-star reviews because I started out on Literotica, and there has never been anyone as mean in a one-star review as the people who have left comments on Literotica. But on that, on those first couple chapters, I don't know if they realized that I was a new writer or maybe I just hit a chord or something, but people were very encouraging when I first started writing. And it wasn't until I'd been doing it for a while that I started getting some of the, attracting some of the people who did not like what I was writing as much. But yeah, everyone was really like lovely when I first started and really encouraging and very into what I was writing. And so I just kind of kept going. And then when they encouraged me to publish, I went and did that. And then I just kept publishing and kind of accidentally stumbled into being an author.
You know, you didn't stumble into anything. You made it work. You're the one that went in there and made it happen. So you can call it stumbling all you want, but you did this.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm just such a goal-oriented person that because it was not a goal, it doesn't feel like I worked towards it because...
Because you didn't write it down and have it in, you know, in sequence there.
It wasn't like, I'm going to do this and this and this and then become an author. It was like, oh, well, these people want me to do this, so I'll do that. Oh, these people want me to do this, so I'll do that. Like, people were asking about, like, are you getting on Facebook? And so I joined Facebook. And are you getting a Facebook group? So I joined, you know, I made a Facebook group. And, like, it did kind of feel like my career happened by accident just because... I didn't plan for it, and I am a heavy planner. And now I plan for all of the steps of my career. So I think that's probably where that comes from.
Well, it's an amazing story. I love to hear the stories from all the authors of how they got started. And they're all a little bit different. And it's just amazing to hear those stories. And your husband supports you in this, I am sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He actually went and found me on Literotica. We got married in 2011. We got together in end of 2006. So I'd already been on Literotica writing for like a year and a half by the time he found me, I think. And he was very supportive from the beginning. You know, after I told him, and I didn't tell him what my name was on there. Mm-hmm. I told him, you know, I was fine. I was like, yeah, this is something I do. And he ended up going and finding me. Which I was impressed by. I was like, I don't know how you did that, but he figured it out. And then, yeah, no, he's been really wonderful and just so proud of me, which is also like, I feel very lucky because not all authors have that. You know, you see a lot of people who have unsupportive families or unsupportive friends or husbands, and everyone in my life has been so supportive of me from the beginning. I wasn't always comfortable talking, you know, it took a while for me. Like, it was kind of like baby steps, you know, kind of like I told him, I'm like, oh, I write for this website. And then he went and found my pen name. But, you know, with my friends and family, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm writing and I've started like kind of publishing these books. No, I don't really want to tell you what they're about. And then eventually, you know, I was like, okay, well, I've been writing them for long enough. I guess I can tell you, but I'm not going to tell you my pen name. And now everyone, you know, my mom went with me to a signing last year. Like,
baby steps. And then, yeah. And then finally they're going, what's the big deal? Let's go to a signing.
Exactly. It's like, everyone's cool with it. I don't feel the need to hide anymore, but not everyone is as lucky as me to have that kind of support in their lives.
That's fantastic. And, the authors that I interview that are married, I always ask this question, does your husband, obviously he's very supportive of you, but does he ever look at you and say, what the hell was that of anything you just wrote?
A
scene or a book or something like that? Or is it just always, hey, that's awesome? And
only time that he was like, what the hell, was when I put a picture of him on a book cover, which he was right, which you would think would be great, but it's the series is called The Dad Bod Doms. So he was a little bit like, what the hell? Why that series? And I was like, you know why.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So how did that go over?
He loves it. He pretends he doesn't, but he loves it. And he's always he gets a kick out of people asking him to sign the book, which a lot of them do, like at signings
Oh,
or
very good.
if they purchase the book through my website.
That's
I
awesome.
always make sure he signs it.
That's awesome. That's a good story too.
Yeah.
Tell me, you've been at this for a while now. You are now officially a good author. Okay. There's no more maybe someday I might consider myself. No, no more of that. All right.
Yeah,
So
no, it's
now that you are, what's next for you? What other series have you got that we should know about? First of all, I mean, you've got a lot of books out there. We heard the excerpt from the one. Tell us about some other series briefly that we need to know about.
well, so I also write historical kinky romance, which is kind of my other main world that I write in. Currently, I just released a season for Bliss and a season for Desire. We'll be releasing in June. And this is a series of novellas that are femdom historical romances. Which is really fun because I've got three series of historical romances at the moment, and they are all, spanking historical romances with the Lord in charge, and they range from one series is very much like he just throws her over his knee to the most recent series where it's more kind of like he crooks a finger and is like, put yourself over my knee. And I've written a few femdom contemporaries, and one of the things that I like about writing the historicals is that, with the time period, I call them kinky instead of BDSM because there really couldn't be explicit consent, because women did not have power over themselves. And so those kind of power dynamics have been really fun to play with. And then now that I'm flipping them on their head and doing femdom within this power structure, that's been a lot of fun to play with too. It is very different for me, I think, than writing the contemporary femdom where it's much more accepted and not always, some people still see it in a certain light, but back then when the man was expected to lead and expected, the woman literally didn't have her own bank account or even a choice really in who she married unless her father allowed her to have that choice. Having the woman in charge is just a completely different dynamic, and it's been a lot of fun to write. So yeah, that's what's going on at the moment is in my historical world, and that's actually my work in progress. While I'm doing the edits for Hidden Away to get it ready for release at the end of this month, I'm also writing a season for Desire. So.
Very good. A lot of stuff going on. It sounds like you've had a lot of things going on for a long time.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I struggle to write in one genre. I also have a short sci-fi series that I co-wrote with Lee Savino, because we wanted to do aliens. So
Wow. I saw on your biography that you enjoy cosplay and Renaissance fairs.
that is my downtime. That's what I do to relax. That's my downtime. My mom taught me to sew when I was in high school, and as I got older, we started doing Ren Faire. And my husband, when I met him, I found out he was really into Ren Faire. I still remember the first time we were gonna go. Like, I was like, "So I'm gonna like dress up. Like, I don't know if you're okay with that." He's like, "I have my own outfit." So we do. I make about half of the stuff that I wear, and then I also buy some pieces. I'm trying to work more towards having more things that I've made, just because I enjoy doing it. It's kind of fun to have, be wearing the thing that I created. But it's a completely different kind of creativity, and it's a fun, relaxing thing for me to do. I do that a lot in the evenings, where I'll just be sitting in front of the TV with my sewing machine and making something. So,
Well,
yeah,
that's
and
fantastic.
I'll be at the Maryland Renaissance Fair this year. I think it's the first weekend of October. The bookstore there is having me do a signing, so
Oh,
I'm
that's
excited.
great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much going on in your life with so many books to read. You have to check out Golden Angel's work. She has books that you're going to enjoy very much. How do people find you? At goldenangelromance.com, right?
My website. I am on most social media. I'm on most social media. The two that I'm most active on are Facebook and TikTok. While I have an Instagram and a Twitter, I don't actually show up for those really. I'm on Facebook every day and I am on TikTok most days. So those are really the best places to find me. And I do have a private group on Facebook called the Golden Angel Legion Lair. And very friendly group. We talk about everything from books to actual kink in there. And yeah, and they tend to get a lot of my like teasers and little tidbits about the books. I try to make sure that I do like a post a day during the week. I do try to take the weekends off because I have a 5-year-old daughter. So I like to try to focus on her on the weekends, but every day on the weekdays, I am in there with at least one post and trying to do comments and stuff. So that's well, where that's, I'm the most
active. That's great. I have a question for you on that though.
Yeah.
Why the hell do I not belong to it?
That's a good question.
What's up with that? I don't know. I didn't
we'll
know.
We'll have to add you. So. We'll have to get you added.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, I have had a wonderful time talking to you. I could talk to you for hours, I'm sure, on a lot of different subjects about this, but you've learned a little bit about Golden Angel, her books. You've heard a little excerpt from her work. Now go check out her other books at goldenangelromance.com and find her on social media. You won't be disappointed, and we wish you a lot of luck on what you're doing, and we can't wait till more books come out.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And we'll talk to you again soon.
I hope you enjoyed this Romance Author Spotlight episode of the show, featuring USA Today bestselling author Golden Angel. You can learn more about Golden Angel and her books at goldenangelromance.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.